Before you, and we thank you for this chapter one with the Reddit Corp. And Father, as a senior pastor, I want to give the reference to chapter one with what you've given me out of your word, Lord. I pray for your blessing on it. I pray for your anointing on it. And Father, I pray I'm over the target and not missing the mark here. Go before me, Lord. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to take out of the text out of Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, and I titled it, Approve the Things That Are Excellent. Approve the Things That Are Excellent. A.W. Tozier said, before the judgment seat of Christ, my service will not be judged by how much I have done, but by how much of me there is in it. No man gives at all until he has given all. No man gives anything acceptable to God until he has first given himself in love and sacrifice. In spite of Paul's imprisonment, being in prison, the trials he was going through, the guy had a joy in his life because of the Lord. And because of the believers in the church who had so many times ministered to his needs, they were under his care. He was like a senior pastor. They were his congregation. He taught them. He prayed for them. And what's interesting is you never see him praying for physical needs or for church growth. You never see him doing that. It wasn't that those things weren't important to him. The main focus of his prayers was on what? The spiritual well-being of others. I mean, you can usually tell where a believer is spiritually by their prayer life. Paul's desire was God's Spirit would work in and through his life. We see that in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Consistent prayer comes from a deep inner desire for others to be blessed and for God to be glorified. But a person who is selfish will focus on their own problems and their own struggles instead of what others are going through. You see, in the early church, the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the apostles told the disciples to appoint men to take care of the practical needs of the church. Acts chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. This is where the deacons in the ministry were instituted. Deacons take care of the physical needs of the body of Christ. Elders slash pastors take care of the spiritual needs. The apostles had said so that they can give themselves entirely to teaching the word and prayer. So Paul prayed, not because he had to or out of duty, but because of his deep love for the Lord and for people, especially the believers. I like what Donald G. Barnhouse said. He said, love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. I love that. In verse 9, Paul said, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment. God loves man. We know that. Even in man's fallen state. John 3:16, 1 John 4:7. Love is not only an attribute of God's nature, it's a commandment in the Gospels. Because of Paul's love for believers, he prayed for them. He was concerned for their spiritual growth, and a part of that growth is love. Godly love only comes by the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of those who truly love God. Romans 5, verse 5. Agape love, which is unconditional love, is not based on our emotions or on our feelings. Paul loved others, even when they didn't love him back. John 13, verse 34 and 35, 1 John 3, verse 14 and 15, and 1 John 4, verse 20 to 21. Genuine love is making a conscious and intentional choice to show grace and kindness to someone, even if they don't show it back to you. Jesus gave the example when he washed his disciples' feet in John 13, verses 13 to 17. The word abound, translated from the Greek, has the idea of overflowing in great abundance. It indicates an ongoing process. To keep from slipping away from the faith, we need to diligently study and obey God's word. We need to come before God in prayer, and we need to trust in God's grace and God's power to make us grow and abound in this love. I like the way Oswald Chambers put it. He said, "No power outside, from the devil downward, can take us out of God's hand. So long as we remain faithful, we are as eternally secure as God himself." That's powerful, man. I love that. If our love is not growing in the truth and standards of the scriptures, we're falling short of a genuine biblical love. Real knowledge is more than just knowing God's word. Real knowledge produces holiness through devotion and, of course, obedience to God's word. If we're being obedient to God's word, which is the only source of true knowledge, we'll have an unlimited supply of God's love. The Greek word for discernment refers to knowledge of biblical and spiritual understanding, which will result in living holy lives unto God. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So when a believer's life is empowered by the love of God, there will be a holy desire to live according to God's will as much as possible. I mean, just this whole thing just has a thread continually going through it of partnering with God. Robert Gromecki, who wrote a 4-book series on the original Greek in the New Testament. I got him. Oh man, it's hard to get him now. He said, the Spirit produces one fruit, not 9 fruits. The fruit, however, has 9 facets or qualities. If a believer is walking in the Spirit, he will possess all 9 of these qualities. The source of the fruit is the Spirit who produces it in and through the believer. Amazing. The word approve, there in that verse, translated from the Greek, means allow, examine, prove. Sometimes it could be translated discern. So the Apostle Paul is telling believers to study, to investigate, and to determine the best possible ways to obey and please the Lord. And then, you ready for this? Live by them. To approve the things that are excellent is to examine them. It's to meditate on them and to carefully identify the best way to do what is right. Philippians 4:8. I love this verse. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Paul is speaking of the desire and the ability to find the things that are excellent so we can live our lives in spiritual devotion and obedience to God. The blueprint, the book. Kevin, you brought that out. It separates the committed from the less committed. It separates the mature from the immature. It separates the strong in faith from the weak. Those who live with a total devotion to God and to his will are so focused, they don't get overwhelmed by the distractions that will come. The things that are handed to them, they don't get overwhelmed by them. We can easily be led from one thing to another. We're all guilty of that. Jumping from one commitment or interest to another. We wander around, continually reacting to whatever circumstance comes our way or to whatever idea floats through our minds. Even when we try things that are good and biblical, our lack of discernment and persistence keeps our work from ever being effective. What's worse, immaturity can keep us from finding and going after the things that are more important, the things that are more necessary to the kingdom. John Wesley's mother, Susanna, once wrote to him, "Whatever weakens your reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes off the delight of spiritual things, whatever increases the authority of your body over your mind, that thing is sin." Great counsel for John. The word offense from the Greek means without stumbling. It has the idea of not falling into sin and not causing others to fall into sin. It comes down to this. It's not enough to just know God's word. We need to be growing in an understanding. We need to be growing in its application as we hold everything up in our lives to Scripture. Partnering with God, man. Until the day of Christ is when He returns and we appear before His judgment seat. Our work will be revealed with fire. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15. Verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Being filled is something that happened in the past and is continuing. It refers to a completed state of righteousness. So we need to understand, spiritual fruit involves good works, and good works can only begin with a godly attitude. 2 Corinthians 9:10. God makes us fruitful so He can be glorified. That's the partnership we have with God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Someone said this, and I've mentioned it before in some of my teachings in the Reddit Corp. God doesn't lavish His children with a jolly discipleship so that they may swim in spiritual ecstasy between conversion and death. God is a giver, but He doesn't give happiness. He gives redemption. He gives meaning. He gives security. He gives love. He gives victory and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Happiness is our response to those gifts. I love it. Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray that You would speak to those who would be listening to this teaching as I reference chapter 1, partnering with God, the relationship that we have of proving those things that are excellent. And God, we just thank You for Your word. It is so holy, and the treasures are just unsearchable in Your word. We will never know all of them until we are with You. God, go before us now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.